KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's cloudy and 27 degrees. We could see some areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, look for mostly cloudy skies today with a high around 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, a traffic stop south of Prescott Wednesday afternoon in Adams County resulted in the arrest on drug charges of a man from Oklahoma. Authorities report 55-year-old Dwayne Sickles of Oklahoma City was taken into custody for possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, second offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The Adams County Sheriff's K-9 Baxo assisted in the investigation. Sickles was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $2,300 cash bond. Police in Red Oak arrested 26-year-old Ozzie Ray Hunter Wednesday evening. The Red Oak man was taken into custody a little before 7 p.m. on a driving while barred charge. Hunter was being held on full bond in the Montgomery County Jail. Officials of the Shenandoah Police Department Wednesday issued a warning to local merchants and citizens with regard to the recent use of counterfeit money at local businesses. Authorities advise merchants to please attempt to verify the validity of any money taken for merchandise. Please note that the backside of the $5 bill will show an obvious cut line across the top, and if you hold the bill to the light, you can see through it more than you should. The watermark is lighter in color, and there is no band running from top to bottom in a fake bill. Businesses are urged to contact the Shenandoah Police Department immediately if someone attempts to pass any money that appears to be suspicious. A man has been given 2 years of probation for helping to set a fire to a corn crib in western Iowa. Sac County court records show Alexander Lilly was sentenced Wednesday and given a deferred judgment under which his conviction can be removed from his record if he were to successfully complete the terms of his probation. Lilly had pleaded guilty earlier to arson. Authorities say he helped firefighter Brent Mack start a blaze on August 19th. Mack from Newell is scheduled to stand trial in April on charges of arson, burglary, criminal mischief, and trespass causing damage. Well, the Atlantic School Board held a work session Wednesday evening to discuss matters that included conducting a needs assessment, culture, and climate survey. They heard via video connection from Tony Vanderzil, Surveys and Research Coordinator with the Iowa Association of School Boards, who said the survey, through them, would cost the district roughly $1,400. All the surveys with teachers, staff, students, and parents would be done online and completely anonymous. Vanderzil said the survey needs to be taken at least 2 months before the end of the school year in order to better assess the data and formulate a course of action for the next school year. The Atlantic School Board also discussed the district's protocol for transportation incidents, such as when a bus became stuck last week. Superintendent Steve Barber.
There's some things that probably happened that day that we didn't quite follow this process, so really wanted to revisit it and reflect on it and then share that with the board. So that's really the purpose of going over this bus procedure tonight.
Barber said the current procedure includes...
The bus driver ensures that all students are safe and if and other actions are needed to secure their safety. This procedure gets thrown out the door. If we get a bus turned over in the ditch, we got injured people, we're calling 911 and then the information will be shared out as that information is ready for the public to share. So if there's an emergency like that, obviously we're going to take care of whatever we have to take care of that.
The bus driver will communicate with the bus garage to inform them of the situation and the bus's location. Once the location of the bus in trouble is known, the policy is for another bus to be taken to the location of the disabled bus. Students on the bus with a problem will be transferred to the new bus upon its arrival. The regular bus driver then assumes control of the replacement bus and finishes the route and or transports students to their school.
And those kids that have not been picked up that expect if my child's going to be picked up at 7:30 and here it is 7:45, those individual parents will be contacted that the bus is running late and try to provide a timeline for the pickup.
Barber said also the transportation director, Mark Weiss, is working on a hard surface only plan. Once the plan is completed, it will be communicated to parents. The option will be primarily used in the spring when the gravel roads are soft due to frost removal. In further discussion, board member Laura McLean asked how the message is communicated to parents when there is an issue involving a bus.
I'm wondering if it would be helpful, you know, especially for parents, if we had a little more detail in here. I know that can cause problems, but, you know, like who is it that communicates with parents and would it be beneficial to also communicate with parents? Because I understand, you know, the most immediate ones is to say, if your kid is standing outside waiting for the bus, we're going to be late. But also to communicate with parents whose kids are already on the bus, you know, who may be tracking them on their GPS of their kids' phones or whatever and being like, why isn't my kid's school yet? What's going on? Like, should that be part of the protocol as well?
Steve Barber said the question is, should the message be sent to everyone via JMC, the district's communication system, or just those parents whose students are on the bus with an issue? Parents can also contact the Atlantic Bus Barn, he said, if they have any questions about where their bus is and when it may arrive. Christy Pellett and Jenny Williams said parents need to be aware with the use of social media, they may find out before they can be notified by the district of an issue, and in some cases before the bus barn or district itself is even aware of an issue.
Somehow we need to get out that we're not going to be instantaneous with our communication. It is likely that you might hear about it from your child or from somebody else before, but we will do our best once we have the situation under control to notify you what action is being taken or if you are needed.
In our funeral announcements, Russell Howard Finnell, age 62, of Walnut, died Friday. Graveside services for Russell Finnell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Wyrick Cemetery, south of Lyman. Reekin Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Donna Byland, age 87, of Avoca, died Monday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Donna Byland will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Calvary Baptist Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Rosemary Dries, age 89, of Manning, died Saturday. A mass of Christian burial for Rosemary Dries will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Elaine Teague, age 67, of Atlantic, died Sunday in Omaha. Services for Elaine Teague will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Max Joe Walker, age 83, died January 23rd at Atlantic Specialty Care. Memorial services for Max Joe Walker will be held at a later date. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.